have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM.
You wonder if you're on the right course. Did you hear his voice? Did you hear in that still voice? Trust the process. That's all it is. Just the process. Just know that you are created for purpose. You are created for a reason. Just know
you are
the healing bomb for someone else. And in this life, friends will come and friends will go. And you wonder why this pain day in and day out. Why does it seem to stay? Put these issues and trials go away, but then he'll speak to you. And that still small voice. Trust the process. That's all it is. It's just the process. Not just for a house and not just for a car, but it's for you to be an encouragement for somebody else. Remember that time you was going through, somebody encouraged you. So now it's your time to be a healing ball for someone else. You wonder why friends walked away. And you wonder why these trials seem to stay. And where these issues and these burdens that I carry day in and day out. And you hear, I hear you, God, trust the process. There's a reason for it all. Just trust us. Someone else. My own testimony is, there was a time in my life where I was home. There was a time that I didn't know which way to go. I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But then I remember my mother saying, Scott, put a song in your soul, put a song in your spirit. Let the going make it rough and the going make it tough. The heels, they're hard to climb.
Because somebody else needs to hear my testimony. I have a home on to it. And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the most devastating experiences faced by many is the loss of value in their investment accounts. Monies that were invested to save for retirement decreased in value as the stock market fell. Others with investment in real estate, as the real estate market collapsed, saw their value lost as property market values fell to levels below the amount of debt owed on them. Investment is acceptable and quite honestly expected by God. In Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 26, you may recall the parable of the talents when the stewards who wisely turned the gifts that they had received into even greater value were commended and then further rewarded. The steward that simply stored up what was given to him by his master only to return equal value of what was given was chastised. This parable tells us that the management of wealth requires that it be invested or multiplied. So the question is always, how do we determine where to invest? First of all, we must pray and depend on God for his wisdom and his direction. No one can predict the markets, so we must direct ourselves to the gentle whisper of our Lord and Savior. Secondly, we must diversify our investments in accordance with Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2, which tells us to invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. This requires allocation of assets in different types of investments that will likely react differently to market conditions and will reduce the risks in your portfolio. Third, you should use minimal or ideally no debt. God tells us that debt puts us in the position of slave to the lender. We must also ensure that we understand the investments that we choose. Generally, people lose money when they invest in something that they do not understand. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, we are reminded that desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Some choose stocks for investment based on products that they enjoy. This is certainly a viable way to develop an initial list of potential stocks to invest in. You should still go further by researching the strength of the company and or seek the advice of experienced Christian advisors. Finally, we must follow God's principles of planning and patience. Most solid investments take time to yield a good return. When God's principles guide us, greed does not influence our investment decisions, and we have a peace that does not make room for fear. Seek God first in making your investment decisions. Diversify your portfolio and minimize your debt. Your wisdom will be rewarded. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Elder Ernest Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. One of the most honored gospel vocalists of the 1990s, Dottie Peoples debuted with two 1991 cassette albums, Is It Worth It All? And Surely God Is Able, then broke out with her 1993 LP, Live, which caused her to be nominated for a Stellar Award for Best Female Solo Performance, Traditional. Her next effort, On Time God, won four Stellar Awards for Traditional Female Vocalist, Traditional Choir, Album of the Year, and Song of the Year for the title track. She also won the prestigious Vision Award that year. Another Female Vocalist of the Year award followed in 1996. Peoples has also performed with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. She released Testify in 1997. God Can and God Will followed 2 years later. Then Show Up and Show Out was issued in the fall of 2000. Detroit-raised, Georgia-based pastor pastor, music director, and singer William Murphy specializes in stirring praise and worship hymns that fuse old-school gospel with urban CCM. He initially gained wide acclaim, providing the soaring vocals on the modern gospel classic, Praise Is What I Do. Murphy earned 2 Grammy nominations and several top 10 gospel album hits, including for his 2016 live album, Demonstrate. Born William Henry Murphy III in Detroit in 1973, the son of Bishop William H. Murphy Jr. and the grandson of Pastor Dr. William H. Murphy Sr., he developed a love for singing, and by his senior year in high school, he knew that he wanted to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the age of 23, he was ordained an elder at his father's ministry and served in a variety of functions, including minister of music and executive pastor. In 2001, he and his wife, Pastor Danielle Murphy, relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, where he began serving as worship minister at New Birth Missionary Church. As a singer and worship leader, Murphy issued his debut album, All Day, in 2005. The album peaked at number 22 on the gospel albums chart. He followed in 2007 with the equally well-received album, The Sound. God Chaser arrived in 2013 and debuted at number 3. It earned the singer his first Grammy Award nomination for Best Gospel Album. Demonstrate, on which Murphy was joined by Tasha Cobb Leonard, Nicole Binion, and Bishop James Morton, followed in 2016 and earned the singer his second Grammy nomination for Best Gospel Album. Murphy returned in 2019 with his 6th full-length album, Settle Here, which debuted at number 1 on Billboard's Top Gospel Albums chart. The annual Stellar Awards represents the most coveted prize in gospel music, and the 36th anniversary is set for Saturday, July 10th in Nashville, Tennessee, and being called the greatest night in gospel music. Here is a partial list of this year's nominees. Artists of the Year. The nominees are Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, Jonathan McReynolds, Kiara Sheard, Maverick City Music, and Pastor Mike Jr. Male Artists of the Year. Anthony Brown, Chandler Moore, Jonathan McReynolds, Marvin Sapp, and Pastor Mike Jr. Albertina Walker. Female Artists of the Year. CeCe Winans, Jacqueline Carr, Kiara Sheard, Naomi Rain, and Tasha Cobb Leonard. New Artists of the Year. Jonathan Traylor, Juan and Lisa Winans, Maverick City Music, Melvin Christel III, and Rich Talbert Jr. Album of the Year. Big, Freedom Session, Pastor Mike Jr., Changing Your Story, Jacqueline Carr, Kiara Sheard, Maverick City Music, Volume 3, Part 1, Maverick City Music, and People, Jonathan McReynolds. Contemporary Duo, Chorus Group of the Year, All Nations Music, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, Maverick City Music, and the Clark Sisters. Contemporary Male Vocalist of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds, Marvin Sapp, Pastor Mike Jr., and Travis Green. Contemporary Female Artists of the Year, CeCe Winans, Kiara Sheard, Corinne Hawthorne, and Tasha Cobb Leonard. Traditional Female Artists of the Year, Jacqueline Carr, Kim Burrell, Leandria Johnson for Gospel According to PJ Morton Inspiration, and Leandria Johnson for Hold On. Rap Hip Hop Gospel Album of the Year, Big, Freedom Sessions, Pastor Mike Jr., Daybreak, Flame, His Glory Alone, KB, The Book of Mally, Mally Music. Quartet of the Year, T. Morton and Gifted, God's Chosen, The Gospel Legends, and Young Men for Christ. Well, that's your partial list of this year's stellar nominees and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
My good friend, Nina Taylor, on this wonderful station right here, along with my beautiful wife, First Lady, now missionary, Sharon G. Richard. Well, good evening to you, and also to you. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard, Jr., your host for The Pastor's Corner. I want to thank God for yet another Thursday for 6.5, going on 7 years. We've been blessed to be here in this particular place, bringing you the very best in not just gospel music, but bringing you the very best in talk shows and topics and subject matter that we cover from time to time. And every now and then we have special guests that'll join us and be part of what we're doing. But tonight we're going to continue what we started last week. Now, if I'm recalling correctly, we were in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, and I believe it was verse 27. And I'm going to have that read in just a few minutes. But before I do that, let me bring on and welcome my panelists, my guests, my panelists for this evening. Joining me always, and I'm going to save the one I normally lead off with, I'm going to save him for last in case he makes it, because I know I got a message that he's running late. But this young man I've known for some 41, 42 years, and I can say honestly he's watched me grow up in ministry. He is the chief prelate for Volume of the Book International Deliverance Ministries. I want to say hello and welcome to Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. How are you tonight, sir? We have no Vincent L. Smith. Okay, let's move on. This next young lady hails from the great state of Indiana. Indianapolis is the city for which she resides. I want to take a moment to say hello and welcome to Elder Anna Henderson. Hello, my sister.
Hello, big brother. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be a part of this turnoff tonight.
Amen, amen. She's never last, always first. And if you want to know what I mean by that, every time you hear this podcast, she's here. She's the reason why we can even have this podcast called The Pastor's Corner. I need you to please welcome and say hello to Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Good evening, my sister. How are you?
I'm blessed. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm just grateful to be on one more time. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be on the Pastor's Corner, and I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're ready for you. And I'm saving this one for last. I don't know if he's here or not, but we are going to check. He is my brother from another mother also. We've been around each other for some 26-plus years, have been in some ups and some downs, some ins and some outs, and some pretty serious situations. But through all of it, God has delivered us each and every time. I need you to say hello and welcome to Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow. Evening to you, sir. How are you? Okay. We hear nothing from him as well, so the men are missing tonight, and I have the ladies. Well, that's fine. We can work with that. So here's what we are going to do. Good Lord. Dr. Robinson, if you would be so kind as to pray us in, and I'm going to ask you, Elder Pastor Henderson, if you would please get Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27. As I said, we are going to pick up where we left off just last week, and I'll give you the subject in just a minute. If you'll be so kind as to do that, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Sure, and before I pray, I believe we do have Sister Henderson from Atlanta on as well.
Oh, Minister Henderson, you're with us tonight.
Yes, I am. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. God bless.
I am as happy and excited to hear. It has been your work schedule has changed some things and shifted some things, but to God be all glory. You're here with us tonight. So, Dr. Robinson, if you don't mind, I'll let you work the boards like you so willingly want to do all the time. Since you're with us, Minister Henderson, can I get you to pray us in and then have Pastor Henderson read us the scripture? I would so greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. Hallelujah. A day that we've never seen. Hallelujah. But you have so graciously bestowed your blessings upon each and every one of us, God. We just give you glory. We thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. We ask, Lord God, that as we dialogue, Lord God, that a word would be said that would encourage your people on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We know that we can't do anything in and of ourselves, Lord God, but it is you, hallelujah, that gives us the power, Lord God, to do each and everything. And we ask that as we share your word, Lord God, hallelujah, that you would touch each and every person, that you would heal, set free, and deliver. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Pastor Henderson, Proverbs 26:27.
Amen. Proverbs 26:27 reads as such, whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him.
Wow. You know what? And I know last week we covered quite a bit. We are going to study a few things here when we talk about a pit. But I know, Minister Paula, you weren't with us last week, so I am going to start with you, if you don't mind. I'm not picking on you, my sister, but when you hear the phrase, you can't skip the pit, which is our subject or was our subject for last week, what does that mean to you when you say you can't skip the pit? Why am I saying that to you? Why would I bring such a thing up to you, telling you you can't skip the pit?
Absolutely. So when I hear you say that to me, that you can't skip the pit, what I think about is that there are just some things in life that you must go through, and that you are not to look at it as something so awful, something that you can't recover from.
Uh-huh.
It says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So, I mean, there are some things that you have to go through because it's going to get you to some place that God has in store for you. But if you skip the pit and you skip the process, it's like leaving out an ingredient when you're trying to bake it's going to rise properly. So there are just some things that you have to endure to get to the place where God has for you. So that's what I think about when I hear that.
Listen, that is beautifully said and very well put together. Now, I'm going to give both you ladies, Dr. Robinson, as well as Pastor Henderson, opportunity to reiterate whatever your thought processes were. And I know they haven't changed since last week, but to, you know, to have that opportunity. Come on, ladies. Dr. Robinson, you first. I know you're working the boards, and I said I was going to kind of give you the night off, but you know how your big brother is. I don't give anybody the night off, not even myself. Where you at, Dr. Kimmy Kim? We got too much dead air. Y'all know how I feel about dead air. Pastor Henderson, she's muted. She may have muted herself. Pastor Henderson, take yourself off mute and reiterate whatever it is that you want to share in this respect.
Yes, I was listening to Mr. Henderson, and I totally agree with what she said as well. And I think on last week I talked about Romans 8:28, how it says in the scripture that, and we know that all things work together for the good, to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. And in regards to the pit, I was saying, I believe, on last week that the pit experience allows you to be developed by God into the purpose that God has called you for. And so the pit experience can be looked upon as a growing process that develops us instead of looking at it as a demise or a way to destroy you. It's actually fertilizes that calls you to be propelled into the will of God for your life when you are called according to his purpose. And so God works all those things together, even when we don't understand the process, when you're in the process. Because oftentimes when you're in the process, you don't understand what's going on. You just know you're experiencing something that sometimes is uncomfortable, sometimes that's unfamiliar, some things that just doesn't make sense. But when you begin to flip it and begin to know that you are the called according to his purpose, you know that whatever you're going through, God is going to work it out in your favor and cause it to cause you to grow into your purpose.
Amen. I like what you said there. You know, I mean, and I thank you both. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, are you back with us or are you still missing?
I'm here. We do have Apostle Smith on now.
Apostle who? Apostle Vincent Smith. Blessings to you, sir. How
yes.
are you? How are you, Apostle Smith?
I will bless the Lord at all times.
Yes.
And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, praise
y'all see
the Lord. Praise
he come in late
praise
and he want to
Lord.
Sing. Hey, he come in late and he want to sing. Y'all see this? Pray for him. No. How you doing? We're just getting
well,
started.
There's just such a wonderful worship down here.
No, we're going to kind of jump into this service tonight. We are talking about you can't skip the pit. Now I'm trying to make sure I got my volume all the way up. Let me put this in. I know you said some things last week concerning what the pit means to you. So let me give you that very same opportunity to express yourself. And for those of you who are just tuning in, this is the Pastor's Corner Radio Podcast. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard Jr., your host, my panelist tonight, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Pastor Anna Henderson, Minister Paula Henderson out of Augusta, Georgia, and Dr. Kim Robinson out of St. Louis, Missouri. Just stay tuned with us. We're talking about our subject matter is you can't skip the pit, and our verse comes out of Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27, and it basically says, whosoever digs a pit, and I'm paraphrasing, shall fall therein, and whosoever shall roll a stone, it shall return unto them. Now, we're just talking about reasons why you won't be able to skip the pit, and Apostle Smith's getting ready to share with us his take on why we won't be able to skip the pit, and then we're going to get into the gist of what it is we're going to talk about tonight. So without further ado, Apostle Smith, if you will, just share with us what the Lord lays on your heart concerning the pit, its purpose, and your play or your role in it.
Well, I will start where I finished off last week. The Lord kept giving me these scenarios about a barbecue pit.
Uh-huh.
It's smoking, it's hot, but it will make for you that you need it to make. Your rubbed down ribs, your chicken, whatever it may be, if you're willing to stay in the pit, the heat, it will make you into that or make your food into that is delectable to your taste buds. Same way
Amen.
In God. A lot of us, we just want God to take us from salvation straight into great things of God. But you must go through a pit there, not a fall, but a pit, a trap, something that someone is trying to make sure you don't make it to what God said you will be. And I'm telling you right now, the pit only came to help, not because when you come up and out, you'll be much stronger.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, we have heard different variations that all go to the same thing. But for those of you that still are not understanding, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, have you already shared your dissertation, or do we still wait on you? Okay. And she's not saying anything, so she must be busy doing something else. Anyway, folks, let's understand something. Regardless of who we are, where we are, in life we have to associate, and I'm going to go from this perspective, and then we're going to kind of open this discussion up, all right? In life, we associate growth with pain. Sometimes we encounter situations and circumstances that will bring about deep-seated hurt, deep-seated heartache, high levels of stress, some strain, some pain, some anguish of mind, and a variety of other things that could possibly cause us to want to either throw in the towel, give up, or just say, I can't do this. I can't make it. I remember back in my high school days, I used to hear my swim coach say concerning our work ethic and the way we trained and the effort that we would put into our practices. He had this famous, it's a famous saying, not that he made it up, but we heard this. He used to say, no pain, no gain. And this was often used to refer to the actual physical labor that went into our athletic training as individuals as we prepped for our upcoming event. I specialize in freestyle and butterfly, and if I wanted to be the best in any competition, I knew it was going to take some weight training. I knew my regimen was going to include weight training and cardio and calisthenics and other necessary disciplines to prepare me for that battle. Well, I'm just comparing this to our everyday living, for it has a regimen all of its own when it comes down to dealing with the daily pressures of life, with the stresses and the strains and the unforeseen setbacks and the sudden tragedies and the catastrophic calamities, the unexpected mishaps and the accidents and the financial struggles that some of us may go through. And all we're trying to do is just make ends meet and live the best life that we can live. Well, on any given day, we could find ourselves on a mountaintop and so full of joy and exuberance and zeal and everything else. And then you'll have those days when you may find yourself deep in the valley, in a dungeon-like enclosure, feeling like you're at a dead end, a no-win situation, in a prison-like condition with seemingly no way out. Some of these types of stoppages could very well turn out to be the reason why people's dreams die and why others' visions fade away and why still others' hopes disintegrate and why some people will throw in the towel and just give up for whatever. And I really need us to understand this. Let's start here. The pit is not the place to quit. Now, I can give you a good example, and we can talk about this. We don't necessarily have to go to the scripture, but if we find that we have to go to the scripture, Genesis 37, 23 through 29, it's the story of a young man by the name of Joseph. We talked a little bit about that last week and what happened to Joseph, how he ended up where he ended up. Here it was, a young man with a dream, with vision, a lot of zeal, hope, loved by his father, given a lavish coat, the whole 20 yards. And when he tried to share what God was sharing with him in dreams and visions, he made other people mad. He made other people jealous. He got on his brother's nerves. And the first chance they got to get rid of this guy, they made sure they dropped him in a place called the pit. Now, somebody, we've heard the different descriptions of a pit, but one thing we got to understand, spiritually speaking, a pit is like a dungeon. It's like an enclosure. A pit can be a dead end where you can go no further. You can feel like I said a little while ago, you're in a no-win situation. You can feel like you've been in prison. You can feel like there's no way out. But yet and still, you have to understand that your pit does have a purpose. As Apostle Smith just said a few seconds ago, this pit is not designed to hurt you. It is designed to help you. There are a lot of us that don't want to push forward toward our destiny and toward our goals and to put ourselves in a position position where God can manifest his glory through our lives because we're unwilling to relinquish to the will of God. We often say with our mouth we want to have that Gethsemane experience, meaning as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, we want to say, not my will, but thy will be done. But yet we don't quite seem to want to go all the way. We're not willing. We're like in Jesus in his flesh when he first came in and went a stone's throw away from the disciples and fell down and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. A lot of you would accept and receive the passing of the cup as opposed to the glory of God entering into your life. And I feel like I'm preaching, so somebody please come in here and share some stuff with me because, I mean, I feel this thing, and I may have to come back and put this out there at some particular point. Pastor Henderson, let's start with you. Share some experiences with me, your pit situation, and how God got the glory out of your life. I want to hear testimonies tonight because we can teach all day long, but a testimony seems to have a greater influence than us sitting here trying to teach and train all night long. What have you been through that you saw God bring you out of, that people got to see you when you were at your worst, but then saw God in you at your best?
Uh-oh.
There you are.
Okay, there we go. Sorry. Well, I guess I just pick one, you know.
Just take one, huh?
You know, the Bible says many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You know,
just choose one. I mean, it ain't got to be spectacular. We're looking for the most spectacular story. We're just looking for some experience because there's somebody out there that's been through, you've been through something that somebody's going through, and they're ready to quit. They're ready to throw in the towel. They have had enough. They tried to walk with the Lord. They tried to be a good Christian, but because everything is so against them, they said, heck, I was doing better when I was in the world. Come on, you got to save them. Throw them a lifeline or something.
Okay. Well, you know, I was thinking about when you lose someone that is close to you. This is a different kind of a pit, but it's a pit of loss of someone that's significant to you, whether it's a relative, whether it's a friend or what, you know, ever. And I think we can also relate to that of losing someone that's close to you, like a parent, and having that situation. That loss, it leaves a, you know, there's a void in your life. And, you know, when you lose someone that you love, you know, the enemy comes to try to make you feel like, okay, you know, you can't make it, you know, because this person is your security, this person is your mentor, this person plays so many roles in your life, and now this person is no longer there. And so the enemy tries to come and tries to bring thoughts to make you feel like, you know, this is, that you can't continue on the journey that God has you on because you have now a missing link in your life. But God shows himself strong, you know, in those moments when you feel like that you're not strong to continue your journey or continue on whatever goal or aspirations that you might have. The Lord really is the filler of the gap. You know, he says, when that scripture says he will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on him, that's true. You know, he really does do that. And also, you know, he says that, you know, he will give you peace that passes all understanding because he paid for our peace at Calvary. And so, you know, when you're in the situation, you don't know how you're going to react. But when you see God bring you through it, you'd be like, wow, you know, God, his word is true. And even when you feel like in yourself that, you know, you can't make it or you can't go through a situation or, whatever the situation may be, it may be a marriage, it may be a loss of a loved one, it may be a loss of a friend, or anything that you lose that's precious to you. You know, the enemy tries to use that, try to make you feel less than. But I thank and I praise God that in those times that God has always showed up in the midst of that situation and just showed himself strong to let me know that I am with you,
that you can make it, you know, and it's peace. It just goes beyond your own understanding, you know, and how you think you're going to respond, you don't really respond because he pulls you up, and I really believe that God wraps his arms around you when you are here. Uh-huh. And so I believe that it also shows you that God's strength shows up in your weakness. And so it just goes, you give glory to God because we don't sorrow like the world, you know, sorrows. We don't react the same way, unbelieving when you have the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost takes control, it really shows you that God really is greater in you than he is in the world. So I thank and I praise God for that. Bible says, in your weakness, then are you made strong. And so I just want to tell someone tonight, whatever situation that you're going through, even if you think in yourself you can't make it, when you have God, God will show himself to be strong. He will be your strength. He will be the empowerment that you need to continue on in your journey. And so that's what I just think, God, just so many times, just pick me up and just pick me up above situations. And, you know, I have to look back and say, wow, God, I really made it through that. I didn't think I would make it through it like I thought I would, you know. And so, God, he helps his people. He's a present help in trouble. So I'm just thanking, praise God, that his word is true. You know, some people just read the word just to read it. But when the word becomes a reality, it becomes a testimony to the glory of God, that God really is a keeper if you want to be kept. Say he's been keeping me down through the years, and I couldn't make it without him.
Amen. Minister Paula Henderson, share with us an experience that you had. There's somebody out there that's going through what you've been through. What possibly could you tell them to encourage their hearts to know that their pit has purpose? Are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm trying to think of something in particular. I guess when you brought up this topic, what I thought about, one of the things I thought about is how, you know, the message or the word says that when you dig a ditch with someone, you're going to fall in that same ditch yourself. And I think about how when you are in a situation, you can't really look at that situation the way it appears before your natural eyes. You have to look at it differently. You have to kind of, if you're on a fire, you have to catch fire so that you can, you know, move through that fire despite what it looks like. And you have to be still enough really almost to even hear what God is saying to you, because it might be something he's trying to move in you. But to encourage someone, I think about, and I have to just to think of an example of how, you know, people are sometimes in a pit situation. You can be bullied. I'll use that as an example. And I think about how Hannah and Penina had that relationship where one was constantly nagging that other individual. You know, Hannah, you know, didn't, you know, try to lash out. She didn't try to, you know, get even or anything like that. You know, she didn't try to go up to Twitter or, you know, Facebook and try to, you know, clap back at someone.
Hey.
But she took her issue to God. She took her issue to the Lord, and she cried out, and she behaved herself unseemly to the point where, you know, they thought maybe she might be drunk. And she caught on fire is what she did. She let that situation work through her, something that really ended up working in her favor, because what she needed from God, in the end, you know, God answered that prayer and gave her a son. And if she had not gone through that situation, if she had not gone through that pit in her life, as many of us, if we had not gone through a pit experience, then that end result is not going to come about. Samuel ended up becoming a prophet. So, I mean, I just say all that just to say you have to be still enough in the fire to stay in the fire and allow that fire and catch on fire too, despite what's going on. Just don't believe what you see. Just keep going and listen to what God is telling you in the fire.
Amen, amen. Apostle Smith, I know you done been through some stuff, sir. And I know you got about 400 stories you could share.
There's three things I'm looking at out of the text that were chosen according to the testimony I want to give. First of all, it is just about devastating when you realize and come to the reality that those that should be your best resource, your best push, your best backers are your enemies.
Uh-huh.
Joseph couldn't have been no more hurt than the brothers was a gift. His anointing, his prosperity, everything that God was saying through him and to them, they were a gift.
All right.
Now, here he is at a pit with those who should be his very supporters. Saying, support what? We get ready to throw you down.
My goodness.
I done been there. When you think that people are with you, thinking they're prayer partners, thinking that they are getting ready to help you fast and pray so you can get to the next realm of what God is doing, only to find out they're the very ones going around town telling folks, oh, they ain't about nothing. They ain't anointed.
All right now.
They're not getting ready to go to that level. Don't even worry about it. You know, they're telling people, nah, don't bring them over to your church. They can't preach no how.
Uh-huh.
And then the next point is the only reason you pull me out is because you only want to sell me off.
All right now.
You found out the pit won't kill me, so you want to get rid of
me. All right now.
And I'm telling somebody tonight, if you are going through those three areas, you find out those that should be your supporters are the ones that is trying to set you up. And if you're in the pit, don't worry about it. You can't stay too long. Because if there's a prophetic promise over your life, they might pull you out and sell you. But guess what? The place they brought the ticket for is where you need to be.
Amen. Amen. You know, you remind me of something. And Dr. Kim Robinson, if you want to comment, I would just come right in and let us know when Apostle Whitlow does show up.
He's been on.
Really?
I think when you're talking, it's like when the preacher is teaching and preaching in the assembly, I just unmute everyone, so it's good to sometimes to just ask around because you don't want to mess up the word. But he is on.
Listen to me. We understand you know protocol, but the only way I'm going to know he's on is if you let me know that he is, in fact, here. I understand that you understand protocol, and I appreciate you, but that's the only way I'm going to know is if you tell me. Because right now, every piece of equipment that I have that's electronic, it's in use right now. So I really can't monitor who's on and who's not. I have to rely on you. So he is here, you're saying, Apostle Whitlow?
The Lord bless
you,
sir. The Lord bless you.
Bless you, sir. I don't know how far into the podcast you've heard, but we trust that you've picked up enough to work with. Give me a few minutes. I'll come right back to you. Getting back to you, Apostle Smith, you said something there that brought something back to my remembrance. And who better than King David himself, where he said on one occasion because of a wrongdoing or a wrong that was done to him, he turned around and said, and I believe Psalms 55, it was not my enemy that reproached me, for then I would have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Two things David brings out. If my enemy was tormenting me, I can understand it. It's my enemy. They don't like me. And, you know, we understand that because they made it perfectly clear that we are not friends. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. I mean, and all of us have some level of haters somewhere out there. I dare you to do something that God's getting the glory for. I dare you to go do something that God is being elevated for, magnified in your life. I dare you to do something that brings attention to the work that God is doing through you. There are haters out there waiting right now, waiting for an opportunity and chance to make sure they trip you so that you fall. I also like what David said. I'll come back to Psalms 55 in a second, but I got to flip over to Psalms 23 and 5, where he says, well, the Lord is preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Can somebody understand now why the devil can't stand me or can't stand you for that matter? God's preparing a table of feasting right in his presence. It bothers Satan. It bothers Lucifer to see you in the position of praise and adoration and able to offer it up to God on a daily consistent basis. This is why I like when he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. The enemy can't stand you. Getting back to Psalm 55, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. For then I could have hid myself from him. But it was you, that very person I spent this time with. We've developed a fellowship. We're supposed to have a love, a godly love one toward another. I got your back. You got my back. If we're going to go out, you're supposed to be my ride or die. What's going on here? Somebody talk to me. Apostle Whitler, we haven't heard from you yet, so come on, sir. Talk to me right now.
Well, when I think about that particular scripture, I think to myself, boy, have I been down that road. When somebody's supposed to be, if you will, in your corner, have your back. And that's why there's this popular saying, just because they're in your circle doesn't mean they're in your corner. A lot of people want to be in your circle. A lot of people don't want to be in the corner. Matter of fact, I remember I watched a movie some time ago. I can't remember the name of the movie, but somewhere in it, homeboys, you got my back, right? Matter of fact, I think it was The Wood, if I'm not mistaken. Uh-huh. Hey, you got my back, right? That's what, we got your back, right? And when homeboy went to fight, what's her name's brother, right? They're like, oh, we had your back. He's like, yeah, you had my back all right. You were way back, somewhere around the corner back. And that's what it is that, you know, you think that people are with you and you find out they're so far away and it leaves you standing alone. Nothing is worse than being feeling like you have no one in your corner, no one to support you, no one to help you, no one who is actually has your back. And so when I think about it, when you find yourself in a pit, you want someone who is there for you. But then it's worse when you find out that the person who you really want to be there for you is the one who actually put you there in the first place. That is a discomfort. But the good news in that discomfort is that God knows how to handle even them. And what we have to learn to do is let God handle them instead of getting frustrated, irritated, agitated, and upset. Let God handle them. Because one thing is certain, God says in his word, it is better that they tie a millstone around their neck and drown themselves in the depths of the sea than to offend one of those who believe in him. I'm going to leave it right
Amen.
There.
All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that? I mean, it's an open, it's open now. The door is open. Go ahead.
The scripture says, I was wounded in the house of my son. The military has a term for that called friendly fire. And if we notice in this conversation, especially in this text chosen to sort of bounce off of tonight, this was not an outside assassin. This was not someone who David had ran into in school that said, I'm going to kick your butt after school and chase him home and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about they chase Joseph home. They didn't chase Joseph home and they didn't send no threatening letter. This was an inside job. Came from a place that should have been a place of prayer for him. I mean, come on, y'all. What could be the worst thing happened to you while you're trying to move in God in a place that he has spoken to you only to find out you don't have not one family member that believe God with you?
Come on now.
And let me take that a step further. And they claim to be saved just like you.
Come on now.
We're not talking about the sinners. The sinners are supposed to, they're supposed to not believe. But I'm talking about those in the family that say they're Holy Ghost filled, proud baptized, on their way with Jesus. And when God starts dealing with you, they
talk
about, you really think that's crap?
All right.
You really think you're going to that level?
See, come on.
And that's the worst pit you can find yourself in.
Well, I agree.
Is that pit of those that you think and feel, oh, man, I know this is going to be great. You know, mama and daddy, because you got to remember now, we don't want you to just get stuck on the brothers, but when you prophesied to the whole family was great. Said, daddy said to him, boy, you done lost your mind. I'm paraphrasing for all of you word sticklers. He said, boy, you done lost your mind. Do you think me and your mother and your brother, because you got to remember, at this time, Joseph was also the youngest. Oh, my God. I ain't going to start with that.
Yeah, he was. Come on, come on. Keep talking to me.
And it's a bad thing when God is dealing with you and moving and trying to move you into great areas, and it's a gray area in your own home.
My God.
Let me say that again. I said God's trying to move you into great areas, but it's a gray area in your own home.
My goodness.
I'm going to leave it alone and let the real scholars talk.
All right. Ladies, any of you want to add to that or step in on that? Come on. Talk to me. Come on. Trying to eliminate as much dead air as possible. None of you have anything you want to share? All right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to go back to just the fact that it's so important to remember that whatever pit experience you may have and however you find yourself in an experience that appears to be or feels like a pit experience, always to remember that God is sovereign and that God is in total control at all times. And that even when you're in the midst of that situation, to always remember that God is working something in you or through you, even in that situation. And I think that, but you know, Joseph, even in that pit experience, I know on the natural side of things, it was disheartening, it was disappointing, it was hurting, like any, you know, like any of us would feel if we were betrayed by our own family members or someone that was close to us when they were supposed to be on your side. That would be disheartening, and you know, but in the midst of all of that, excuse me, in the midst of all of that, he still kept his focus on the Lord. You know, he still had a focus that was focused on who he was and on his God. And I think that's so important, is not to ever lose sight of who you are and whose you are, because in the midst of that situation, if you know that, then you will survive the pit experience. A lot of times people have pit experiences and they don't survive or make it through it because they think the pit, that's all to it, is just that experience alone. And they become bitter and they become hard-hearted and they turn away from their faith in God. Instead of pulling toward God, they pull away because they feel like, why did this happen? This shouldn't have happened this way. And so it's so important to keep the right perspective of your pit experience in order to have the victory in that situation. And it's all your perceptions, all how you perceive it. It's all how you understand your relationship with God while you're in it and while you're going through it. And allow God to work through you in that situation so that you can see victory. Because the pit is not designed as a believer to destroy you. I believe the pit is designed to develop you. And so when you have the right perspective, it helps you to grow and to become what God is doing in your life.
Amen, amen. Anybody else before I move forward? Anybody? Okay. Going once.
I just want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Is there anybody on the line that has ever gone through so deeply at a pit moment where you said, forget this?
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Yes.
I can tell you.
Go ahead.
That's
go
an
ahead,
absolute
Bob.
Yes.
Yes.
I can tell you. I was married to a woman one time. Lord, this was years ago though. We're talking about over 15 plus years ago. I was married to a woman who really wanted me to choose between her and ministry. And on one hand, I promise I was crazy about her. And you know who it is, Bishop Designate. Boy, I was crazy about her, excited about her and everything. And it had gotten so bad that I couldn't even enjoy being in the fellowship service because I had to be quiet because I was too loud. I was rejoicing too much. I was making too much noise. And, you know, and it's like the more I tried to do to please her, it's almost like the less I would try to do to please God. And it got so frustrating, you know. I started at one point, I said, you know what, forget this. I'd just rather not do this ministry thing and be married. And the Lord brought it to my attention, but weren't you doing what I called you to do before you met this woman? I was like, yes. So why would you stop doing it? Because she wants you to stop doing it. So I had to make up in my mind, you know what, bump this. I'm going to live and do what God would have me to do because I refuse to live any other way. You know, in a nutshell, one of the things about the pit is that the pit wants to steal your joy. And here's the thing, even in a pit, oh boy, I shouldn't say this, but it's so strongly in my sanctified pinky toe that if I don't say it, something's going to be wrong and I won't sleep tonight. Even in your pit, God wants you to learn how to rejoice and to maintain a standard before him when you're at your lowest point. Because what I discovered is that when you're in a pit, the enemy wants you to operate in your emotionalism. But if you operate in your emotionalism, will cause commotion, and commotion will always hinder your promotion. I ain't preaching. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. So when you're in a pit, don't allow your emotion to get the best of you. When you're in a pit, remember you're still anointed. When you're in a pit, remember that God has still called you. When you're in a pit, remember that God has anointed you and put his hand on you. And guess what? When you're in a pit, remember that God not going to let you sit there. What I'm talking about.
Bruh, you are saying so much at this present point in time. And see, listen, everybody that's on this panel, don't wait for me to call your name and ask you to say something. This is an open conversation. If we were sitting in chairs in the same room at the same time, I don't quite think we're going to sit there and say, okay, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, okay, Minister Paula, it's your turn to talk. Okay, Pastor Henderson, it's your turn to talk. Okay, Dr. Kimmier. No, we don't. This is a general conversation. See, one of the problems I find with Christians, and I'm going to say this about radio in general, there is a pit of business as usual that I can wish that we could get out of, because we do things the same way, the same time, all the time. It becomes monotonous, and you really don't even think about it. I mean, I'm just trying to understand, when do we get to the point and place where we can just freely just share? I know people say it's a bit chaotic, but you know what? It's more real than you sitting there waiting for somebody to play questions and answers. This ain't Jeopardy. And if it is, where's my money? That's all I want to know. Come on, is there somebody else that want to throw something in there? Come on, just jump right in, y'all. Just jump right in. I like what you just said, Apostle Whitlow, because of the actual fact that the pit is trying to steal your joy, and the pit is trying to isolate you and trying to get you to believe your own hype, believe that nobody loves you, believe that nobody is even thinking about you. The pit wants you to, whatever it is you're going through, it might be financial, it might be spiritual, it might be emotional, it might be mental. The truth of the matter is, and I'm going to say it this way, is when we submit ourselves to the will of God and allow the Lord to order our steps, we're going to find ourselves going through some of the difficulties of life. We're going to be dealing with diverse temptations, and some of us will find ourselves facing fiery trials. And I like what Peter said. I believe it was in 1 Peter 3:12. I may have it wrong. I think I got it right. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you." Somebody said it just a few minutes ago. But rejoice. You see, when you're going through, I said this last week, so I might as well throw it back out there for those of you who may be listening by way of radio that may have missed the statement last week. Your destiny awaits you. Your pit is leading you to your assigned destiny, a destiny that God has prepared specifically for you. But in order for you to get to that destiny, there are some things that have to be taken off of you, some things that have to be taken away from you, some things that need to be added to you, and some things that you just need to flat out leave alone. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Anybody that knows anything about diamonds and gold, let me take gold. I'll take gold as opposed to diamonds. I can do both. But anybody knows anything about gold, you know in its raw state there's a lot of dirt, a lot of slag, a lot of dross, a lot of materials that surround that piece, that ore, whatever you want to call it. And you have to put that thing in the fire and burn all that excess mess off of it, so that when you pull it back out of the fire, the gold itself is not burnt, but you're now holding, or you now have, the pure ore or the pure rock or the pure piece of gold itself. You have to take stuff off in life. God has to burn some things off of you, slice some things away from you, hack some things off of you, cause some things to fall off of you, peel you away from some stuff that's otherwise distracting you. Why are we not understanding that as we ask the Lord to order our steps, we're going to find ourselves facing some trials, some troubles, some tribulations, and some of which you possibly may have created yourself, but bless God, he's able to take the trouble that you created and turn it around so that it now works in your favor. And think about this. Some of you are in different seasons in life where if you, you know, and I don't want to get into the seasons because we know the four seasons, summer, spring, winter, fall. You know, it might be because of the season of life that you're in that you may not have control over the painful parts of life, especially when it comes to those things or even other people, but you most definitely have control over the gain part. I said earlier that my old swim coach, excuse me, used to say no pain, no gain. You can't control the pain, but you can most certainly control the gain if you learn how to use it. There's always a lesson to be learned in every situation that you face, no matter how difficult it may seem, and learning how to find the purpose of God in your life should be part of what you do as a Christian. Anybody agree or disagree with me? Talk to me, y'all. Did I lose everybody?
Amen. I totally
agree. Come on.
Go ahead.
Talk to me, Henderson, Minister Henderson. I think I heard you. See, I'm doing it again. I'm appointing people
okay.
to talk.
Okay, that's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to say that, I mean, a lot of people are going through hurt. I mean,
yeah.
like we're in a time right now,
mm-hmm.
In this country, 2020, and even though we're through 2020, things are still occurring now, right now, today, where people are hurting, whether they want to admit it or not, so that they're showing it. People are hurting. Some people hold it in. Some people are, you know, acting out, but a lot of people are hurting in different ways. But the only thing I can say is, I mean, the book of Ecclesiastes says that there is nothing
mm-hmm.
new under the sun. There is nothing
mm-hmm.
new under the sun. So to encourage people, I know a lot of times people, when they get into a pit situation, they think they're in it by themselves. Or, you know, this is, like you said, a strange thing that has come. But just to encourage people, you know, a lot of people have been through where they have been or where you might have been, whoever might be listening, and they've come through it. So a lot of times people think they can't make it and they give up. You know, people commit suicide. You know, I talked to someone the other day, you know, she said, oh, my mother just got killed. It was a murder suicide. So, you know, and she was, you know, trying to hang in there, trying to be, you know, and then she said she was now homeless. You know, she just had one thing after the other, and sometimes the enemy will hit you at one thing after the other, and you'll find yourself, you might find yourself in a pit-like situation where you think, how am I going to get out of this? But the good news is that, you know, Apostle mentioned, you know, the thief that comes. Well, we know that the enemy comes not but to kill, to steal and destroy. But the word also says that if that thief be found, he must repay. So, I mean, I say all that just to say there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is an outcome even at the end of pain, like you talked about that diamond. When you know, because you're going through something doesn't mean there isn't going to be a brighter day that's going to come out of it.
All right.
So, I mean, even the book of Job tells us how, you know, God turned Job's life completely around. He went through that pit-like situation, and a lot of people are going through it. So you just have to know that no matter what you're going through, someone else has been through it, and they've come through it. And you've got to look through those people who have actually come through it and just stay encouraged, even though what you're going through seems like it's unbearable.
All right.
Also, what I found out in the
– Go ahead.
What I have found out also, like, as you go through, it's a moment where you can also gain from the Lord. I'm still reminded that God gave permission by Satan to, you know, go ahead and try Job. And I have witnessed so many wonderful people in the Lord who have gone through some of the most troubling times, and they maintain their faith. And so it doesn't feel good to be in a, you know, Patmos situation. But one thing I have come to realize, you can find this in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 15, God will never place more on you than you can bear. And secondly, apparently he can trust you with that pit situation because he knows who you are. And he trusted Job. And so when you are a believer, that's part of the game, because I'm still reminded in the Bible it says it rains on the just and unjust. And so what I tend to do also, I pray for the unjust, because, you know, sometimes people don't understand why they are going through things. And we are in this world for a brief time, and there's nothing but trouble in this world. I look at Jesus, how he was blameless, and he went through situations as well. But one thing I love about the strength of Jesus, he gave us the strength that we, through the Comforter, that we can handle anything if we place our faith in him. And so when you lose the concentration of the Lord and you focus on your problem, that's when we lose. And it's easy to do, because I've been there. So I have come to realize that, like it says in James, counting all joy when you're faced with so many different tests and trials. But I'm still trusting in the Lord no matter what, because the Bible is right. It's the recipe of living. And that will be my comment.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Anybody else want to add to it as we come down to a close?
And I just want to add in, too, and I think that's why this is a very exciting time for the church, and I think this is a time that the church must be awakened, because people are hurting, as I heard Mr. Henderson. People are hurting. A lot of people are hurting in silent frustration. They're smiling on the outside and crying on the inside. And a lot of times, you know, we as a church, the Bible says, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And it's so important that we awaken and be empowered so that we can be able to reach a hurting and a dying world. And so it's so important, especially, you know, in this time, this is a wonderful time to really be a witness and to really be a bright light and to share our testimony, because people need to know that God is able, that God is a keeper, that God is a deliverer, that God is a healer. They need, you know, that this is not just something that happened with Daniel. This is not just something that happened with Joseph and David. But this same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that we serve, and that he's able to do it just as he did it for Joseph, and allowed him to go through his pit experience and caused him to rise to the occasion to be where he was in his point in time in his life, to be a help and a savior to his family. And raise him up to take the authority that he's taken. You know, it was with purpose. God had a purpose. You know, and I'm reminded of the scripture in Psalms 119:71. It says, it was good that I was afflicted, that I may learn the statutes of the Lord. God has a purpose for the pit, that you may learn of him. Learn and know that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and know that he is the God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think of. When you go through something, it brings you to another level in your walk with God, and it allows you to see him for who he really is, and then it shows you you. And a lot of times it shows you who you are, and it shows you who your God is. And that's what God wants our experiences to do in life, is to bring us into a greater revelation and relationship with him. So I just want to encourage someone who may be listening tonight that I don't know whatever your situation is, but I know that God is able to save you. He's able to heal you. He's able to deliver you. He's able to turn that pit situation around. He's able to do anything if you can believe him and trust him tonight. So I just thank and praise God that he's that same God. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And nothing is impossible with our God.
Amen. Anybody else? And for those who are just coming in, there are some coming in on TikTok. You're listening to the Pastor's Corner. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard Jr. Those who are listening by way of Twitter, those who are listening by way of iHeartRadio, Spreaker, whether you're on YouTube channel or whether you are on Facebook Live, wherever you are, if you have a comment, please post it. We will get back to you and we will share with you. as soon as we see your comments. IG TV, if you're there, leave your comments. We will do our best to get back to you. Anybody else want to throw something in before? Cause we got just a few minutes left. I mean, this is a lengthy subject, and we're not going to do this in a day or in a week, but we're going to use this until we get to the close. I do want to remind our listening audience that next week, this may be our last live show with this panel until the second week of the third week of August, when the women come back and do the Women of the Word. So we're going to take a little break from because on the third week or the third Thursday, which is I think the 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. We won't be able to do a live show because of the time constraints, and we'll be in the middle of a convocation. But there is going to be a show right here in the Pastor's Corner, and I do believe you will enjoy it. And we're going to share that with you. And for the next 2 or 3 weeks after that, there will be shows, but it may not be the Pastor's Corner discussion. So I want to put that out there now before I forget. I do realize that our time is running short. I can't see my calendar, so maybe Sister Kimmy Kim, if you got a calendar nearby, you could let me. Do we have one? We have one more show before the third week in July, or is this it right here? Come on, while she's doing that, let me hear from somebody else as we get, wind this down and bring it to a close. Okay, what is that? Somebody trying to radio us from Mars? Oh, boy, are we losing the station? Did we lose the station? Sister Kimmy Kim, did we lose the feed?
No, that is someone's phone. I don't know what that is.
All right, that's someone. All right, well, let's do this. Let's bring it to a close. Do we have one more Thursday after this, or is this the one, or is this it?
No, next week is the third Thursday, and then
okay.
The week after that would be the
we'll be in Indianapolis, Indiana. I don't know if we're going to be able to pick this back up, but we will do the best that we can. Apostle Smith, come on and talk to me real quick as we bring this to a close.
What you want me to talk about? Peanut popcorn?
Basically, we'll give a just final line of thought.
Your
and actually, we do have one more Thursday. We do have next Thursday. And that will be the Women of the Word. That's next Thursday. And then we will shut down from the 22nd till about the 19th of August. That is it. Okay, so we do have one more show on the 15th. All right, sir. Final thoughts.
My final thought tonight is, and it's been said so eloquently tonight through both of our Henderson preachers, and that the pit really comes to give you an experience.
Yes.
The pit is not designed for your failure. Is really your turnaround point to point you where you are really going. So if you're feeling let down, if you're feeling left alone, if you're feeling like you are low and nobody cares, guess what? You're in the perfect place. Because
that's right.
God is going to lift you up and take you where he needs you to be. He can't reveal it yet. But believe me, the pit only was the beginning of a great thing God is
Amen.
Ready to do.
Amen. Apostle Whitlow?
Yes, man of God.
after all the preaching we have heard tonight, after all the preaching, the only thing I can say, and I was thinking about this, and this, and if you're going to blame someone for this, blame Apostle Smith. He said that a pit is used for a barbecue. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, Lord, what are you really saying? He said that the pit is made for you to be built beyond questions.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to leave it right there. Built beyond questions. I'm going to leave that alone because y'all might get around with that in Jesus' name. All right? Go with God, and he will, and he will. Go with you.
Ladies, any final thoughts?
I'm going to piggyback off of Apostle Whitlow, and I'm going to say, don't let your negative emotions cause commotions that keep you from your God-given promotion in Jesus' name.
All right now. You're scaring me now. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Dr. Robinson, Pastor Henderson, either of you? Okay, let me throw this in there, and I'm going to say it like this. Most of our learning and growth in life doesn't necessarily come from all our good times we experience, but rather from the difficult moments, and it's during that period when everything is good, we're as happy as we can be, and we hope that this happy feeling never goes away. We don't want anything to change, and then time happens, and we begin to wonder, and we can't figure out what exactly happened, that the simpler things of life have slipped away. And I don't know about some of you, but my mind sometimes reminisces and goes back to some things that used to be. I found something today, and I'm talking about this to get to a point. There's a point to what I'm trying to say. I found something today when I went out. I went to Five Below, which is one of those stores where you could buy stuff for $5 and under. And I just happened to walk past a little display there. And how many of y'all remember Now and Later? I don't know if you remember the Now and Laters, but the Banana Now and Laters were one of my favorites. The Banana Now and Laters was one of my favorite candies. And I can remember having at least a pack of Now and Laters a day, the banana especially. I had the grape and the cherry, but I liked the banana better. But, you know, and I saw these, and it made me go back to a happier time in my life when I was just so carefree and simple. I didn't have half the responsibilities I had, and my mind reminisced on how things used to be, and I found myself getting nostalgic, and there are some of us out there who get nostalgic even to the point where they'll start singing something similar to a stanza that Stevie Wonder wrote some years ago in a song called I Wish from his album song. Yeah, I did say album. Album, Songs in the Key of Life. Y'all remember that song, I Wish, where he says, I wish those days would come back once more. Why did those days ever have to go? Because I love them so. Y'all know how that goes. And everybody, do, 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 do. Y'all know how we used to do. Anyway, but it's during those times we discovered that we're actually unhappy with the way our lives are going because of some things we've been to. Some of us have found ourselves in a position where we're literally parking in the pit, and we're spending too much of our time literally parked in the pit of emotional despair, the boo-hooing of a broken marriage or a severed relationship, and dealing with the pits of financial hardship or mental anguish, or becoming so discouraged and defeated, and we make a bad decision just to remain in that dead-end situation instead of determining or setting a plan for escape. Let me leave this one phrase with you if you don't remember anything else. And we're going to talk about this if we pick this up when we come back. You can't afford to park in the pit. It's there to help you, not hurt you. But at no point in time are you supposed to park in the pit. Because when you park in the pit, you can look for self-pity. You can look for anguish of mind. You can look for bitterness and every other negative thing. Your life and destiny depend on your decision to trust the God of your salvation to deliver you out of whatever pit that you have. finally, I'm going to say, if life throws a challenge at you, you've got several choices. You can feel sorry for yourself. You can throw in the towel. You can give up. You can cry. You can complain, why me? Or you could stop whimpering, whining, and howling, I give up, and screaming, I quit, and start trying to convince yourself that you can't take anymore. You can just turn around and say, God, whatever it takes, I've been in this storm too long, and make a decision to anchor down to the rock who is able to bring you in and out. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard Jr. This is the Pastor's Corner. Kimmy Kim, get the song ready. We will see you next Thursday live, and then we will be going to Holy Convocation. And for those of you that are in Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm going to let a Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith tell you about the convocation, some of the preachers that are coming, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Henderson to give us that address so that folk can show up. Don't matter where you are. I guarantee you, if you meet us in Indianapolis, Indiana, you are going to have the time of your life, because we're not going to have church as usual. We are going to have unusual church. Apostle Smith, tell us a little bit about Convocation 2021.
Well, we're looking for you, you and you. If you are in Columbus, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, Springfield, Ohio, if you are in Muncie, Indiana, if you are there in the Indiana area, anywhere close to Indianapolis, we're looking for you. From Detroit, from Chicago, we're looking for you, for you, for you. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a great week. My daughter, Amber Smith, is going to start the firecrackers. Amen. She's going to start it off on Wednesday at 5 p.m. It's going to be a word you don't want to miss. And then that night, the Apostle Faye August is coming all the way from one of the New England states, Massachusetts. She shall be with us that night. And then the next day at 5 o'clock, which will be Thursday, we will hear from the elder Nodella Jordan, a man from the Baltimore area of Maryland. And she will be with us at 5 o'clock. And then that night at 7, the Bishop C. Sean Tyson, amen, a magnificent and well sought after preacher in this time and hour. Friday at 5 p.m. You heard her from time to time tonight. Amen. Giving that word out. But on that Friday at 5 o'clock, they're going to let it loose. The quiet storm will be in effect. There will be thunder and lightning at 5 o'clock on Thursday with Pastor Anna Henderson. We thank God. And then that Friday night, another war horse be with us, the Bishop Donald Golder. You don't want to miss it. Saturday will be a community outing right there at 2125 East 54th Street in Indianapolis, Indiana. And the evangelist, Kim Dixon, will be with us from Wilmington, Delaware. You don't want to miss it. Amber is my physical, biological daughter. Then my spiritual daughter going to speak to us on Saturday. And Sunday morning, they hire some guy, amen, to come in on Sunday morning. Oh, my Lord, they're on the flyer. He looked just like me. Wow, my God. So you need to be there Sunday morning, amen, at the 10 a.m. hour. We will climax the Holy Convocation, 26th Holy Convocation of the volume of the book, Deliverance Ministry International, Inc. You don't want to miss it. Be there or be square. Put your face in the plate and your feet under a seat.
All right, Pastor Anna Henderson, where are we going to? What city, what state, what street number? What's the name of the church?
Amen. You will be at Jerusalem Temple Apostolic Church, located at 2125 East 54th Street, where our pastor is Bishop Derek Jefferson. Amen. And for a high time during this convocation, come one, come all, and be blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen. You've heard the announcements, and we pray that you'll govern yourselves accordingly. We're ready to part this this particular podcast. So, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, with all due respect, I ask that you would begin to crank up the music and let us begin to move forward to where we need to be. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Go to somebody's church this Sunday. If you don't like your own, find one that's going to work for you. We'll talk to you this coming Sunday. For those of you that are going to join us at Power to Stand, we'll see you at 12 noon. We'll be right back here. Those of you on social media, you know who you are. We will see you at 12 noon. The Lord bless you. And let's not forget, Saturday, Making Marriage Meaningful with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow. Have a great night. Till we meet again. God bless. It's in your hands, Dr. Robinson.
I used to walk around with my head hung low. You ask me how I'm doing, I say I don't know.
We will catch you guys.
The pain I felt inside, no one could see.
God bless.
But now I really know.